top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, January 31st, 2019. The three things I'll get to real fast, and then we'll go to the phone. So there were warnings along the way. And there were signs of trouble. A couple of years after the passing of Adams and Jefferson, there was that, whatever you call it, to commemorate their passing, basically, at the White House. And John C. Calhoun gave a blustery speech about states' rights, the rumblings of Civil War. And then he went back to South Carolina and did the same thing. South Carolina has a long and storied history in this battle. When you start looking into the history, there are pivotal points and things. It's like bad guys just, they're doing it, right? It's happening in plain sight. And people don't realize it. It's interesting. You know, one of the things, I mean, so, you know, we talk about states' rights and stuff, and I have said for years, ever since the ruling, I guess, you know, that the administrative state still knows and acknowledges, essentially the Ninth and Tenth Amendments, if you will. So what are we missing, America? The Department of Justice, you can go to justice.gov, and there used to be another page that actually talked about the decision in very specific language in a post-9/11 era. Very provocative. The case is Federal Maritime, it's Maritime versus South Carolina Ports State Ports Authority. And, you know, I've talked about it in the past, and basically even the administrative fourth branch acknowledges the supremacy of states' rights, so to speak. So that's not an issue if the decision in Federal Maritime Commission versus South Carolina State Ports Authority is true, I guess. That's maybe how you say that. If that's a real decision, I mean, if the case really happened, and it did, and the DOJ publishes reference to it, then that means we're missing something in the discussion. And we should be reading and circling back and sharing information with one another and learning and doing something about this. So we had warnings. There were a lot of warnings. And then by, you know, the turn of the, well, the mid, you know, the latter half of the 19th century, it just all starts to go south. You know, a lot of things happened in 1871. By 1872, you had the reincorporation of the District of Criminals. 1873, the slaughterhouse cases. And sort of from there, everything starts to fold into the reinvigorating of the old school bad guy ways, you know, Fabian socialist nonsense. 1875, Farmers and Mechanics Bank versus Deering, 91 U.S. 29, which is, it's one of those pivotal moments I don't think can be mentioned enough, when the state creates rights and individuals against itself. Just under 50 years later, Justice Brandeis cites that case in United States versus Babcock, stating, you know, these any prefaces, these general rules are well settled. Gentlemen, it's all over except the crying. There's nothing left to talk about. These general rules are well settled. When the state creates rights and individuals against itself, it is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts, and may withhold all remedy, or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. Oops. Did we say mass vaccination? Well, you know, oops, however mistaken its exercise. Do you have these privileges, otherwise known as rights? Wink, wink. Well, however mistaken its exercise. Sorry about that. You know, and again, turn of the 20th century, William Willoughby, crafting the administrative state, sent off by Woodrow Wilson to Puerto Rico to practice, basically, and fine-tune it, bring back to America. Which is why Puerto Rico is so near and dear to our heart. And all of these warning signs along the way, you know, the Reese Committee tells us, and, you know, Assistant Director of Research Thomas McNeese, a revolution changed so drastic as to constitute a revolution in the 4 years, 1933 to 36. What was going on then? You know? The exploits of the, you know, ne'er-do-wells on the periphery of the FDR administration could fill volumes and have. You know, which emergency, which executive order. Legendary. And we have these moments where we refer back, and it's always bad guys referring back. You know, twisting the truth and reality of things, the slaughterhouse cases, or, you know, referring back disingenuously to things to, you know, if the 14th Amendment was what we were alleged to believe it was originally, then who's still alive that needs their 40 acres and a mule? Anybody? Anybody? Anyway, the three things, three resources that are out there today and then to the phones, Founding Fathers of the United States, Wikipedia entry. Historian Richard B. Morris in 1973 identified the following seven figures as key founding fathers: Alexander Hamilton, bleh, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, John Jay, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and George Washington. John Adams is named among them. James Otis, you know, again, a byline mentioned before. You can find him down the page. James Otis. Passing reference. And then, so you could find on the interwebs John Adams, who, according to establishment historians, is one of the seven key founding fathers, one of the seven key figures. But in John Adams' letter to William Tudor, June 1, 1818, he closes his letter. It's entirely about James Otis. Closes his letter and says, "I sincerely believe Mr. Otis to have been the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men." It seems to me of some importance that his name and character should not be forgotten. Well, that's interesting. Why isn't James Otis named chief among the seven, or the eight, as it were? I ask rhetorically. Then you go to the American Revolution Wikipedia entry. James Otis and John Adams are both quoted from John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law, no less. Again, I had no idea until yesterday. I had no idea that anybody in the last however many decades had read it. Apparently someone has, and James Otis. Imagine what a different society it would be if we all were. From John Adams, and I've mentioned what John Adams said that James Otis said in his letter from William Tudor, so I'll forgo that now. You can read it. And what he said in reference to Thomas Jefferson, and again, the silence on Query 14 is interesting. I invite and even encourage the reading of it in its entirety and then discussion on it. Tell me after you read it in its entirety that you can come to any other conclusion. The folks of the day didn't. I wonder how we are able to subsequently. They all had a very clear understanding of Jefferson's perspective back then. John Adams writes about it, for example, in one instance in his letter to William Tudor, June 1, 1818. How is it that we come away with a different understanding? These people were there talking to each other. Well, less and less so in the case of Adams and Jefferson in later years. How do we come to a different conclusion? They were there. Somehow we're smarter. Or maybe not. So from John Adams' dissertation of the canon and feudal law, let us see delineated before us the true lamp of man. Let us hear the dignity of his nature and the noble rank he holds among the works of God. The consenting to slavery is a sacrilegious breach of trust, as offensive in the sight of God as it is derogatory from our own honor or interests or happiness. Said a man who never owned a slave. And from James Otis, The Rights of the British Colonies. Who's read The Rights of the British Colonies? James Otis, 1764. Pivotal moment. The colonists are by the law of nature freeborn, as indeed all men are, white or black. What? He really wrote that? Does it follow that 'tis right to enslave a man because he is black? Will short curled hair like wool of Christian hair, as 'tis called by those, parts are as hard as the nether millstone, help the argument? Can any logical inference in favor of slavery be drawn from a flat nose or a long or short face? Are not women born as free as men? Would it not be infamous to assert that the ladies are all slaves by nature? This was 1764. This is our heritage. John Adams, who is known to be by most generally accredited scholars and historians, the establishment historians acknowledge he is, you know, he's one of the grand poobahs of the American Revolutionary period, and he points to James Otis, and this is what James Otis wrote. Who's talking about this? These are things we'll discuss going into Black History Month. Anyway, do you see how this changes the discussion? There is no conflict. If we get back to these things, sure, things happened. But this is also in our DNA, so to speak. We could reach higher. We could do better. To the phones. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey. While I, in a general sense, am, you know, empathetic to your exasperation and your lamentation, I sit here and I wonder at like how it is that you almost seem to marvel that sinful men should strive to control, manipulate, and exploit others. Sinful humans, and as I was dialing to talk to you, you said something to the effect that, you know, if we could all get our thinking, our heads screwed on straight, think this could all evaporate, you know, this could all change overnight. No, it couldn't, because we are, you know, sinful creatures. We're God's creatures, maybe created in the image of God and everything, but we are sinful creatures wrestling with lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, you know, the world, the flesh, the devil, sin, death, and hell. These, you know, we strive against these things. And not only that, God is, you know, foreshadowed through prophecy that things will indeed become worse, not better.
Right.
But it's important to remember that even these wicked people are limited. I think of a non-biblical, I always often think about Robert Burns' poem, To a Mouse, where he says, points out that the best laid plans of mice and men gang oft agley. They go often go awry. And these people are, you know, though they are very much in cahoots, they, you know, write their little tractates and you know, even if it is because of Edward L. Bernays, that I eat eggs and bacon. I've enjoyed a lot of those eggs and bacon breakfasts. These people are not omnipotent, though they are influential. You know, and very often they work their wiles through influence rather than pure power. But not too many people sit around reading, you know, political philosophy, especially the graduate level and stuff like that. Part of me feels like, yes, you know, if you look to your left, to your right, in front of you and behind you, you will find this corruption. You were, you know, here on Earth, and then, you know, it seems to me that place, if you want to be free from it, you have to look up.
And part of me feels like, there's no question about that. Asking,
hey, you know, hey, Chris, what's God done in your life? What sort of encouraging and redemptive or surprising thing? You know, or think of C.S. Lewis, Surprised by Joy, and stuff like that. Fine, that's fine. Me neither. I just, the book title popped into my head, you know. But the point is, you know, how has God surprised you lately, or done something encouraging, or how has God answered a prayer for you lately that encouraged you or made you feel good?
My direct answer to your somewhat rhetorical, at least sounding question, would be Dana Ashley's video, for example. I mean, if you understand her background, that is God's miraculous grace applied. The fact that she could go from, point to point to point, that she could go through the experience that she had, where she was led, I would say, completely into sort of the belly of the beast, of this propaganda beast, and seems to have made her way out the other side by God's grace and the Holy Spirit to a very, very sharp discernment. And she is not only very wise and discerning at this point, it seems, but also doing her level best to share what is impressed on her heart in faithful service, basically. So that's would be my answer to that question. That's one.
That's good, but I'm talking about more something actually personal to you, you know, where you sought God and felt that you connected and communicated and received a reply, you know. I'll give you my example of the week. And we all know about the cynicism of the medical pharmaceutical complex and all constantly lamentations about all the evil that comes out of the medical realm these days and the horrific philosophies and that sort of thing. But you know, there's a lot of good that comes out of that too. Even the most cynical and people who are against allopathic medicine, you know, give credit to emergency medical treatment and surgery and stuff like that. It's primarily big pharma that most people find themselves ultimately railing against. But
hold that thought, Glenn. Hold that thought, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're on the phones. We have Glenn and Philly on the line. Go ahead, Glenn.
Well, I was sort of trying to, talking about this positive thing that has happened for me this week. I have long been dealing with degeneration of my eyesight because of cataracts, and especially in the past couple of years, my right eye has just gotten really bad, and it was getting harder. It was affecting my driving. Just seeing and reading and, so I ended up, took a day off from work this Monday and had cataract surgery. And I had so this involves, and believe me, I'm totally trusting God for a good outcome on this. God created the mind and the hands of the surgeon. He created the minds of the people who came up with the technology. And I ended up with, a multifocal replacement lens implanted that allows for improved near vision, not only distance vision. And so I'm right now sort of on this, very grateful high of having, having my eyesight restored, no blurriness, everything's bright, and my visual acuity is, proving I can read the fine print on my cell phone without glasses. And in spite of all the evil in the world, and in spite of all the misuse of technology, and in spite of all the exploitation in the realm of medicine and the injustices or inequities. And in spite of the rip-off prices of insurance and stuff like that, you know, God has enabled this, you know, me to access this and have this wonderful improvement in my life, because I'm standing here now, able to read and look around and see clearly at the distance, and I'm exceedingly grateful. And in spite of all the evil or evil intentions, you know, I think our healthcare system was badly scuttled from the first moment of the inception of the HMOs, the health maintenance organizations. To me, that was the big beginning of the downward turn. And yet, in spite of it all, there's a lot of good done, you know, and God can transmute the evil intentions of others, which, as Joseph said to his brothers when they came out of Egypt, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You know,
Well, you know, that's certainly one perspective. I take, I have a different view on
perspective.
A lot of that.
Perspective, a visual term.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, to all of that, I mean, I would say, I would probably preface, like I always do, to me, I don't think we're talking about, it's not like a salvation issue, basically, I wouldn't say. Generally speaking, I would chalk it up to hands and feet, maybe. You know, 1 Corinthians 12:12, many members, one body kind of thing, different message. Ezekiel 33, if the watchman feels like he's had a message pressed on his heart, then by golly, he better work diligently to get that message out. Because if he doesn't, then, you know, if they don't do something about it, their blood is on his hands. And so you think about that, and you think about, man, all of what you say, I understand what you're saying, but still, you know, I think of going back a little bit to the first part of what you were saying, how things can't change in a day. Jonah, you know, the book of Jonah tells us Nineveh was, you know, basically the America of the day, in a manner of speaking. And the book of Jonah tells us that Jonah went through Nineveh, which was a 3-day journey, the book says. He went through Nineveh. He set out a day's journey. Did he make it in a single day? Don't know. He, at best, it sounds like he made it a third of the way through town, yet word got back to the king, and they repented from top to bottom. And right. God declared judgment. Go tell Nineveh, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And so is God a liar? No. Judgment came. That's a longer story. And I agree with what you're saying in that sense. You know, it was sort of inevitable. And still, there was a, you know, a stay of execution, so to speak. And so my call, if there is such a thing, so to speak, you know, is basically to point out how we keep moving in a bad direction, the wrong direction, I would say. And that's the message that's pressed on my heart. And so I feel like hang on indeed. We're headed into another break. Stick around. And stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, January 31st, 2019. Again, we're on the phones, Glenn in Philly. Go ahead.
Hi, Chris. I was just fixing to do a foghorn leghorn on you there. I said, whoa, boy, whoa. because you seem to be, it sounds like you could be implying that a different gospel, a good news message of political philosophy that endorses the most sound principles of the American Revolution or of America as a nation, not even necessarily the Constitution, which certainly may be the better parts of the Constitution, mm-hmm. but right. that this, if we could get our heads, you know, on straight or think this way, like as if there could be, you know, a massive epiphany about, you know, political concepts and ethics and stuff, if everybody could, all these simple people could sometimes become good enough to give mental assent and some commitment of the will to these principles, this could change things. It, Jonah was preaching, repentance from sin and faith toward God. You know, same right. thing with the New Testament, you know,
right.
Message of it always involves repentance of sin and faith toward God. And
right.
you certainly always do mention religion, virtue, and what are the...
Yeah, but virtue, morality, and religion. But I predicated
virtue, yeah.
or I prefaced today, as I always do, it is first and foremost a spiritual issue. You know, and I mentioned 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 today.
Right.
As I usually
right.
do.
Right, well...
Absolutely.
I think... it just seems like America has gone far away. Or, you know, there are a lot of preachers who think, you know, America's fixing to, you know, suffer judgment, judgment on
sure.
America, if you will, is almost inevitable. And except for some huge repentance that, you know, that. So, yeah, I mean, okay, if there's can be some great wave of revival that, you know, turns the hearts of the people to God and the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Okay, so mm-hmm. much the better. I mm-hmm. don't see it going that way. I see it much more.
I don't either.
You know, yeah.
I don't either. And that's why I call it Jonah's gospel. Jonah didn't get a hint of what was coming. I mean, what happened was completely unexpected, I dare say. Mm-hmm. You know, he's, you know, it, for all he was concerned, you know, a reticent messenger for a different reason. And as far as he was concerned, let it burn. And so he didn't want them, he didn't want to see that happen, but he goes through town yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And the complete opposite of what I would expect happens. And you
right,
know,
which
so
begs
if there
the
was
question
a,
of,
there was a mass revival and a mass repentance, so to speak,
right,
would it
right.
be such a bad which, thing? I don't think so. Are we forestalling
and yet, why did
God's
that occur?
Judgment? No.
Right.
What's that?
Well, it forestalled it for a number of decades. What'd they get, like 40 years or 70 years or something?
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, I think God is outside of time and space, and so, you know, he's not thwarted, but...
He's not what? No, but
thwarted.
I'm saying Nineveh Nineveh, again, degenerated after... it was
sure.
less than a century. It was 40 years or 70 years or something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But where the question is, you know, so that's good fodder for the Arminians versus the Calvinists, and to how did this wicked, you know, this wicked population suddenly, you know, have this massive repentance from top to bottom?
Yeah,
you know,
but again, I would say, like I've usually said, you know, when it's Arminians versus Calvinists, it's both. It's not one or the other,
yeah.
and in the same sense,
right.
we're many, many members in one body. We're hands and feet.
Yeah.
And hands don't do
what
feet do.
Armenians, not Armenians. Armenia is a country. It's,
and by the way,
Armenia,
I thought of you. I thought of you when I heard James Corbett say tangential.
We can do coterie as opposed to coterie. The coterie is
sure.
a story by Cotterpins, I think.
Right.
Oh yeah, and you know what? It's so odd because I listen to this preacher. I am so frustrated you and, you know, Mike Rivero and Lord, you know, Christopher Monckton and, you know, this are shining lights in conveying things verbally. But there's this one preacher I listen to who is supposed to have a college degree, but he routinely massacres words. Kind of like AJ, like a Christian AJ, Carnival Barker, with really bad spelling, grammar, and pronunciation. But his heart seems to be in the right place in a
well,
lot
maybe
of ways.
It's a form of NLP or something, because it apparently it sticks. You're retaining it, so it has a stickiness in Malcolm Gladwell terms.
Oh yeah, well, sensationalism and that's the magic of the Carnival Barker. That's why I call him Carnival.
Right.
You sir, the bombastic, gregarious, you know, confrontational hype master. You know,
mm-hmm.
but I guess the rationale is it's okay if it gets people's attention and leads them to Jesus or whatever. But And every day I listen to multiple people on multiple networks trying to sell me turmeric, and they can't pronounce the name of the spice they're selling, turmeric. Oh, and it's like, oh, God. It just amazes me. But anyway, and that, like I say, so, I think, okay, fine, call me a jerk, call me a snob, whatever, but I'm sorry, like 40, 50 years ago, those who presumed to go on television or radio to propound messages generally had much greater mastery of English language. It's, you know.
Yeah, just like everything, you know, every representation that we can point to seems to indicate that, you know, greater, I mean, watch the old movies, you know. I mean, watch White Christmas. You know, they get on the train. Right. The conductor says, gentlemen, either you have tickets or you haven't tickets. Have you tickets? Who speaks like that today in America?
Well, I'm not even talking about something that is, you know, fine-pointed. I'm talking about people not saying, there is a lot of those. There is a lot of them.
Right.
You know, they can't get...
The ones.
We can't get...
The ones.
Rudimentary subject verb numbers.
When my grandma used to hear the ones, you know, the ones that she would wince. I mean, I could see her eye twitch like Clint Eastwood. The ones? No.
What? That's okay. Yeah. The ones who espouse this, you know, something like that?
Okay. No, my grandma would not have any of that.
She would like prefer individuals, I suppose. But anyway.
And now we're off into the land of ambiguous pronouns. You can't tell what anyone's talking about. Subject, object, predicate. Nah. Not worried about
I know.
It's that.
Like,
anyway.
Well, all right.
We need to.
Okay, take care, Chris.
Stay focused. I will say, though, before you go, you know, again, my perspective, and, you know, admittedly, perhaps different, but I'm just going to say, you know, again, I'm going to chalk it up to hands and feet. To me, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it as you know, a salvation issue, so to speak. But
when
you talk about your eye problems, you're one of the few people, very few, that I would say I have heard praise God for the kinds of things that you've been able to benefit from. And by, and most don't do that. And I believe in this technocratic age, the tendency that we're encouraged to do is to praise science, you know, and scientism.
Oh, no.
Worship at the at the altar of scientism. And, you know,
that seems to be the tendency,
and not by accident. But when you talk about your eye problems, my thought while you're talking about it, honestly, is, but from whence? And for example, you know, again, have you watched Dana Ashley's latest video? If you haven't, I encourage you to watch
it. I haven't.
And you watch that, you watch things like Dr. Magda Havas. She's a doctor saying, you know, I think there's this thing that I would call type 3 diabetes. And where does that come from? And where does this instance of the Rouleau effect come from? And, you know, then you combine that with glyphosate. And then you see what, you know, I mean, Dana Ashley mentioned again, who's talking about the fact that, I mean, first of all, we already have 5G creeping out. It's already been rolling out for quite a while now, years, actually. And when you combine that with the heavy metals that are everywhere and everything, you know, never mind falling out of the sky. They're in products that people consume. Oh, but it's not that much. You know, it's in the vaccines. You're encouraged to get more and more and more of these. Your kids are on what's the schedule now, Glenn? Like 72 shots? You're filling them. At some point, there's going to be some level of mercury probably floating around in their system. Never mind that it's unsafe levels by some estimates. You take those heavy metals, you run them through a microwave, what happens? They pop. They explode. So,
right, and for those,
you have those
for
kinds
those
of issues.
God, well, I often think if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. Or we don't even know. We always think of faith healings as being instantaneous, miraculous things. We don't know how many sort of gradualism-type healings or, you know, how much assistance God renders in these sorts of things for those who diligently seek him, you know.
But when we know better, Should we be relying on that instead of, you know, taking the precautions?
No, we should always
that borders on tempting God.
No. I'm just saying, should we act according to our knowledge? Certainly. And strive to be wise? Of course. Wise as serpents, innocent as doves. Sure. But, you know, in the meantime, even for the most, you know, somebody trying to be conscientious and doing what they think is the right thing and praying about it, we don't know how much God helps, you know. And even mm-hmm. so, I think even the miraculous healing, you know, those who were healed by Jesus eventually died anyway. You know, all healing is temporary, you know, because eventually the whole body does.
Okay, but on the specific issue of your eyesight, here's what my thought was. Speaking of the video that Dana Ashley put out, it's the, you know, again, the title is, oh, come on. XDHS employee reveals all in this interview on this coming technology. And so I dare say that some of the technology this XDHS employee was exposed to is very similar in nature to some of the technology you've been exposed to, and some of the side effects, including the effect or the impact on vision, could be the same. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the correlation that I'm drawing. And we know that, you know, you see, I mean, it's a very tight-knit, closed-loop system that preys on the sheeple, essentially, to create a, you know, a system of job security, basically. You create the problem, and you say, hey, we can fix that, and you just keep sort of experimenting.
Well, turns out cataract surgery, I read something, it's a cataract surgery, the most commonly performed surgery in the U.S. And, you know, somebody said they would have expected dental surgery, but I'm not sure about, you know, that. But I know in the course of my reading about this stuff, I came across that. But I am ever so grateful. I got to tell you, I'm standing here now. The world is bigger, brighter, better peripheral vision. I can see at a distance. I can see closely. And I'm saying God created the brains and the hands of the people who produced this stuff and made it possible. So,
well,
you know, I'm
glad to hear that it worked out well for you. And I hope that continues. Yeah. I hope that it is nothing.
I got to do the other one next month. So I'm trusting, I'm continuing to seek God and trust Him for a good outcome on the other one as well. But right, I tried looking up Dana Ashley. I just got a site for some lady named Danny Ash, and that was very different.
If you go to YouTube, it's Dana, D-A-N-A, and Ashley is spelled A-S-H-L-I-E. So go to YouTube and you'll find it. Or the video, XDHS employee reveals all in this interview on this coming technology, exclusive interview with an XDHS employee. And it's really shocking. We should probably just play it, you know, at some point.
Yeah, 5G is going to be a nightmare, obviously. Yeah.
Yep. Already is?
The smart meters and all. Oh, yeah, already is. Hey, listen, I have 3 smart meters strapped to the side of my house here. You know, it's like not a lot of, you know. So, all right.
Again.
Well, listen, Chris, God bless. Take care. Yeah. And,
thanks, Glenn.
Don't
you too.
Don't stare too avidly into the abyss. Take care, man.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it, as always. You know, if there's anything good about this third hour, it's that kind of stuff. I mean, that was a lively discussion. I always appreciate that. I think, you know, hopefully that's a good thing. And sometimes we agree wholeheartedly. Sometimes we disagree. Sometimes we disagree entirely. But to be able to have discussions and hopefully through that, the edification of everyone, not just those having the conversation, but those, you know, listening in or eavesdropping or whatever, the edification of everyone is hopefully what is in view. Anyway, let's go back to the phones, I guess, in the remaining moments here. We head into a break. Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris.
Hey, Brian.
Well, I'm glad you held your ground with Glenn. I'm constantly having to point out to people using cell phones and the like, don't expect me to come sit by your bedside as you need 10 years of home care. You did it to yourself. Sorry you have smart meters on the side of your house. You could move, but like Mark says, I'm not going to wear a burqa. We have to focus on putting up some resistance to this. Even Tony Pantelaresco's most recent, he put up a YouTube of Elon Musk saying, oh, I'm sorry, it's over. We can't get away from AI. It's a done deal. And you know, when Tony Pantelaresco throws in the towel, it's a bad day. Anyway,
hold that thought for a second, if you would, Brian, and we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just calling to tell you what a great product you have. I could use this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. Thank you.
Indeed. How fitting. So, welcome back. You know, at the heart of what Glenn is saying, I don't disagree. I mean, I agree with what he's saying, and I agree with the message and the point. But at the same time, again, you know, all of these things, you know, Brian, you mentioned Tony Pantoloresco and, you know, him talking about the, I guess what I would sum up as summarizes the technocratic influence on deleterious health, or degrading health. And if we look around, we just, you know, again, to sort of get our heads screwed on straight, to to be encouraged to believe that 5G is anything but harmful to people. Yay, we get faster download speeds. Is it really worth it at the expense of your health? And I'm telling you, people, if you haven't watched, go watch Dana Ashley's latest video. This woman who worked at DHS around these machines that are essentially the same technology that's going to be rolled out in every hamlet across America, her health was destroyed in a relatively short order. And she's talking about 28 other people that she worked around who either died or, you know, it just turned into a giant boneless chicken ranch. Everyone, their health was so damaged that it was in many cases irreparable. Fortunately, this woman apparently had a miraculous recovery, but, you know, people either died or, in many cases were permanently, injured, and this is all in very short order. I mean, you're talking a year, 2 years. So faster download speeds at the expense of, you know, life and longevity. I mean, really? And then there's glyphosate and there's heavy metals and this manipulation and sophistry of the crap that goes in everything. It's 100%. You know what? Don't stick 100% on anything anymore, ever. No more. 100% should be banned on labeling and everything like it. It's dishonest, quite frankly. It's intended to be disingenuous and misleading. If you don't understand what I mean, look up Mary Jane Butter's quote about the carrot. They should have to label theirs a petro carrot and say, we only used 30 chemicals instead of 50. Meanwhile, I should just be able to call mine a carrot. I agree. You know, enough with the sophistry. Third hour coming up. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.